My name is Dr. Tip Aswanan, and I'm from the Sustainability Development Department of CP Group. We are a newly created department about 2 years ago to handle all sorts of sustainability issue in CP Group, ranging from fish meal to maize to contract farming and many other things that you can think about. Okay. Because there has been a lot of interesting development in the country in the past couple of years. A quick introduction about our group, Jalan Pokapan, I think I will go by CPF. We are the leading agro-industrial and food company in Asia-Pacific, and our main products are livestock, swine, broiler, layers, and ducks, and aquaculture, which... includes shrimp and fish, and we have also have vertical integration into feed, farm, food, and retail. But what we'll be talking about today is mostly the aquaculture, which is shrimp. So our shrimp is actually aquaculture. We don't capture them from the ocean. We actually we raise them in farms, and we are. One of the largest, I think, shrimp exporter in the world, and we are one of the larger ones in the country. I'm not sure if we are number one or number two. The main ingredient for raising shrimp is fish meal, is because we use fish meal as a source of protein. And CPF, we usually buy a lot of fish meal from a third-party fish meal factory. And in turn, the fish meal factories buy raw fish from the fishermen. So to be clear now that CPF does not own any fish meal factories or fishing boats. So we buy basically the end product from the factories. So the problem with fish meals, there has been a lot of complaint about fish meal, both internationally and locally, which can be summarized into two problems. First is international concern, human trafficking. Okay, and then the second is a local concern, environmental issues. We have been trying to tackle two problems, but we found, which is something I'll talk about today, that solving the two issues are in conflict in many different ways. And it's very difficult to try to solve two issues together. Okay, so human trafficking. Regarding human trafficking, I think this began 3 years ago when there was a Guardian article attacking slavery on involved in the shrimp or fish meal supply chain. And there has been a couple lawsuits in California and in the EU. And CPF, along with, I think, our competitors locally have been named as part of the lawsuit. I think usually the lawsuit would claim that we knowingly support, or we know, but we don't do anything about slavery involved in the supply chain. Okay, and some of these lawsuits have been dropped, and but they keep coming. New ones keep coming every couple of months. What we did in order to approach this human trafficking issue is that a couple years ago. Some of the people in this room would know about this effort. We started a seafood task force, an international seafood task force. It used to be called Shrimp Sustainable Supply Chain Task Force, where we bring together international stakeholders. This includes the buyers like Costco's and Walmart's and I think Tesco and several other retailers. And we bring together sellers, people like us, CPF, and I think our competitors locally. And we have the fishermen who want to be part of this, the factories. And we even bring together international NGO. So what we did with this task force, where the information is on that website, it's pretty detailed information, is that basically everyone comes together and write down new rules. And the rules, which include the rules that govern how we would buy fish meal, to make sure that we completely avoid human trafficking. And this also includes the rules for traceability, the technology we use, and the rules for audit. Okay, and what we did at that time, that I joined this department after this project. Okay, what the team before me did at that time was they chose to focus on bycatch fish meal and not byproduct. They chose to go ahead with the rules and traceability and audit on bycatch fish meal. Okay, so I think most of you already know there are two types of fish meal, bycatch and byproduct. If there's everyone knows, I'll just skip ahead. Okay. So why we focus on bycatch for the task force is because bycatch is basically, or we believe, is normally captured in local water by local fishermen. So it's basically a close environment that we can enforce control. So what we need to control is that there are no slaves on the boats. Whereas if we want to focus on byproducts, it would happen basically very far away from where I think the Thai policemen or Thai military can enforce. So it has more risk of having slave. So we focus on bycatch with our task force, okay? Because it's basically a close environment. And also the majority, I think this can be disputed now, but I'm not sure if this can be disputed now, but we believe for a long time that the majority of fish meal in the country is from bycatch. So I think, but I'm not sure if this is still true. Okay, so we did that with this task force for 1 or 2 years. Everything went well until we were faced with the environmental issue from the local NGO. So basically, the local NGO. So when I mentioned the human right, the slavery issue, so that is usually an international concern. We have not been attacked. We have not been approached by anyone locally, no local NGOs on human rights or human trafficking. Okay, but on the other hand, the local NGOs here in Thailand are mostly concerned about environmental issue and the way that it affects their livelihood. So we were approached, I think about 18 months ago, by local NGOs who represent communities of fisher folk. And in Thailand, this represents around 4 to 5 million of local population, almost 10% of the Thai population. They basically marched onto our building and demanded that we stop purchasing any bycatch and use byproduct only. Okay? And they claim and they show studies that CPF was a major buyer of bycatch, and that there is some linkage to overfishing. And overfishing leads to drastic reduction in fish supply, which leads to impact the livelihood of the fisher folk, because they no longer can earn a living of catching fish. So these 5 million local population are claiming that they're directly affected by overfishing. Okay, so when they marched onto our building, it was pretty big in the news, I think 18 months ago, and hundreds and thousands of them in the middle of the city, and they were going to dump fish meal onto our building, which is in the busiest downtown street in Bangkok. It would not have been a pretty sight. So what we did was we had several approaches. So our first approach was we talked to them and we told them what we are doing with the seafood task force. We explained our rules, our traceability, and our audits. And we told them that everything is already approved by the local the international NGOs, so they should be happy. And we also explained to them that using bycatch and also the gears that we allow in our task force is actually in compliance with the law. We thought that this would be okay. I think this would be any company's standard answer. I'm not sure if any other company would have done any different. Okay, so what happened was the local NGO fully rejected our approach. These are the reasons. Number one, which is the most important, and I'm speaking here with international people, is that local NGOs do not share the same view with international NGO. And this is very important. We have learned this a very hard way. Okay? And second is our task force did not involve local NGO and environmental issue from the beginning. We thought that by having international NGO, we thought that NGO could just talk to each other and everything would be okay. But it turns out that's not the case. Local and international NGOs, at least in this country, do not talk to each other and share basically opposing view. And the local NGO, because I hear you guys, people in this room are probably more concerned about traceability and audits. But local NGOs, they don't care about. We spend a lot of time talking about the science and technology of traceability and audits and all the statistics. It seems that they simply don't care. They care about a very simple idea, just a simple question about what gears are actually being used. They don't care about anything else. So they feel that the local law on the gears is not in accordance with international standards. So when we claim to them that the gears we're using or the gears that the fishermen that we buy from are using is in compliance with the law, both the old law and the newly revised law, they're not happy about it because they're saying that, well, the local law is not up to the international standard. And I think if we have time, I can probably go hours and hours into this, and they can go hours and hours into this as well. And they're claiming that until such law is revised to be up to the international standard, they want CPF to simply stop buying by catch. So we asked them, so we told them that, well, you guys are marching on the wrong people. If you want to complain about the law, then you go to the government. And their reason is that they find after many years of doing the NGO work is actually forcing a private sector to do something is much easier because they can enforce damage onto our brand and they can cause a lot of impact and they can get us to react much quicker, which is true, and that's why we reacted the second time after this. So our second approach, between each approaches, a lot of very difficult internal and external discussion. It does not happen quickly. So we went through a lot of thinking, we talked to a lot of people. We even went to FAO. We talked to a lot of experts about how we should proceed. Okay. So what we did was we halted all purchases of bycatch and switched to buy product that meets the IFO standard. And CPF tries to convince the Seafood Task Force to switch to buy product. And CPF will not announce that we will not purchase any bycatch until a standard, new standard is established that is accepted by local NGO. Okay, so this is what we announced around 18 months ago, which was a very strong announcement. And it was effective because if you have noticed, for the 18 months, CP is no longer attacked by local NGOs on environmental issue, on fish meal. We are no longer attacked because they basically know that we just simply exited from the bycatch business. Okay, but it has a lot of side effects. Number one, Seafood Task Force that I mentioned, face a lot of difficulty because they established, we with them actually established all the rules on the basis of bycatch. And now that we switch to byproduct, a lot of people are unable to adapt. So we basically caused a lot of problem. Unfortunately, with Seafood Task Force, which we actually helped spend a lot of effort in building, and it is still a problem today. So 1 year after the second approach, which is today that I'm here, so I'm talking about what is happening today. Okay, so Seafood Task Force still has a major issue continuing, and we also found, I'm not a standard expert, but I found that the IFO standard actually on the pipe product actually protects against human trafficking. And as I said, the local NGOs no longer attack us. But I think we go back to the original question about why we did this in the first place. So is overfishing really resolved after CPF stopped buying bycatch? So what we found, the reality after 1 year, is the total volume of bycatch essentially remains the same. New buyers came in to replace us. So the volume that we no longer buy, so there are new buyers in the market who comes in and buys and actually export. They export to other countries who may not care about environmental impact. I don't want to name the countries, but there are such countries that will buy any fish meal. Okay? So as I mentioned many times, the local NGO no longer attack us. But now, what should we do? What should CPF do? Because we are basically we essentially remove ourselves from the problem, okay? But that may be an illusion, because in reality, we also have a longer term plan. Basically, the IFO byproduct that we're using may actually not be sustainable, because there's only one single supplier in Thailand. And just by CPF buying alone is already, if there's a second buyer or third buyer, there will not be enough supply in the market. And there's not enough economic incentive for more factories to actually try to qualify for IFO. Okay? And the reason is because CPF essentially is the only one who requires IFO. Everyone else, all the other companies, are still doing as they used to, and this is because the local NGOs, they selectively attacked only CPF. They thought it would be effective. It was effective in getting CPF to change our approach, but they didn't raise enough awareness that CPF is basically not the only company in this area, and now the other companies may still be continuing their same practice, but the local NGOs have not gone around to fully attack them to get them to change. So there's no economics or even social incentive for other for factories or even other companies to change their buying plan. Okay, so what we are doing today, right now, is we are working with multi-stakeholder to try to redefine a sustainable fish meal supply chain. What we are doing is we're trying to adapt the seafood task force to include the local concern, and at the same time we are establishing new task force with the local NGOs with the local NGOs' involvement in the beginning. And with this task force, which we are in the work right now, we are looking at several legal framework, the laws that actually needs to be changed to make things easier for us to do business, to actually answer the question of why the NGOs start attacking us in the first place. So we are doing a lot of work in actually promoting the changes to a legal framework. And also we're sponsoring research into to get actually establish a fully acceptable fact. Because of what we found over the past 1 or 2 years is everyone in this country, they cite different data. And even the government data, sometimes the local NGOs, they do. I would say that there are issues of people from different stakeholders actually accepting the government data as being the de facto standard. So and there needs to be a lot of work here on establishing a single reliable data that everyone can agree upon. Okay, and we actually doing a lot of promotion. It's on this issue. Okay, So the key challenges, this is the last slide now, that we have, that we found, is actually in addition to working on the substance of the problem, the content, the research, the legal framework, the more difficult part is actually building trust and understanding between the stakeholders. This includes the government regulators, the fisher folks, the commercial fishermen, the supplier, and the buyers. And we, as CPF, a private company, we find it, like looking back to today, we find it actually surprising that we have, our company has gone this far in actually trying to bring these four group of people together, and we're actually sponsoring a lot of event in doing this. Okay, so we are essentially, I don't want to say we're becoming an NGO ourselves, but actually we're doing the work that a lot of NGOs, we're putting a lot of effort, manpower, money, research into the work that a lot of NGOs and government are actually doing. Okay, and the goals that we have, short-term goal is to define what is acceptable gear and to make sure that our law, our local law, is actually in sync with the international standard. That would be all of my presentation.